A boy who built a model ship. He glued all the parts together and worked on it for hours. It was perfect. Every detail was correct, down to tiny sailors standing on the deck. He put it in a glass case. He wouldn't let his brother play with it. He was going to keep it perfect by keeping it safe. His parents bought a real boat so they could spend the weekends sailing out on the harbor. They loved it. At first, it was a lot of work to maintain. Both owners will tell you that the day, both owners will tell you that the day you bought your boat was the happiest day of your life. And the day you sold it was the second happiest day. At first, they used it a lot, but then they used it less. It was expensive. After a few months, they went to spend a day sailing and found barnacles growing on the side, algae all over it, and a dead motor. A wheel boat is only kept in shape by being used. The two boats worked in opposite way. The toy boat was preserved by being kept safe. The wheel boat was preserved by being used. Local churches are like the wheel boat. They are kept in shape by fulfilling their purpose. Local churches that pour themselves into reaching their communities will find calling, passion, and love. The local church is you. The local church is I. The local church is all the believers. So I want to submit to you tonight that every believer can pour himself or herself into the service of his or her God by practicing the three great C's of the Christian life. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, the apostle tells us, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. 1 Peter 4, verse 10. So the three great C's of the Christian life, the Great Commission, the Great Commandments, and the Great Compassion. The Great Commission. What is it? Or rather, what is it not? Some people think, if you go to friends right now, they are so much into social, they forget the gospel. They forget that we serve a holy God, and sin cannot enter in his presence. I was in Paris a few years ago, and I saw social, hospital, give them stuff. That's not the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20, our master told us, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I want to submit to you, given this, that the first missionary is not necessarily who you are thinking of right now. Now notice that a missionary is a person with a mission, a person with a program. So God is the first missionary. And let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and see the first good news that was proclaimed. After Adam and Eve sinned, after they went away from God, they disobeyed, God told the enemy in verse 15, Genesis chapter 3, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between the thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So this is the announcement for a perpetual hostility between Satan and mankind. At Calvary, the victory was won, and Satan received the fatal blow announced in Genesis 3:15. Jesus suffered excruciating pain for me and for you, as it is written, the chastisement that gave us peace fell upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. We are saved. We are washed. We have reconciliation with God. We become heir of the promise. So salvation for those who believe, but bad news for the enemy. And more good news was to come when Abraham came on the scene. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, the Lord said, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." This foreshadows the Abrahamic covenant found in Genesis 15, 18. And the USA, the politicians here in this land, they understood that. After the Second World War, they voted to bless Israel, to help Israel be reinstated as a nation. And guess who else blessed Israel in that time, in that vote at the United Nations? The Haitians. That's why, to this day, Haitians can go to Israel without a visa, because they blessed the people of God, the God's chosen people, even though they are not living where they are supposed to be. They are not where they are supposed to be. They are supposed to come back to God. They are not. But God still made them a promise to Abraham, through David, and we bless them. And that's why whenever you pray, you should always remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Amen? The book of Jonah tells us about the missionary heart of God. Listen to the first, the chapter 1, verse 2. God said, told his prophet, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." Why? Nineveh, a wicked city, a wicked nation, a wicked king. But God does not rejoice when the wicked perish. God, with his missionary heart, with his loving heart, he wants them to repent and to leave. That's why he sent Jonah. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 tells us, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." That means the entire world, both Jews and Gentiles. So the Great Commission, you see, charges us to make disciples of all the world. The love of God, that's what we teach the world. The holiness of God, yes, we teach them that too. And the judgment of God. Some just talk about the love of God. Yes, he's a loving God, but he's a just God. He is a righteous God, and sin cannot enter his presence. That's why we need to practice the Great Commission. And what do we do with that? We teach the Great Commandments. The Great Commandments, yes. Matthew 22, verse 33 to 40. "And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the greatest commandment?' in the law. Verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Let's pause for a minute. A man, a woman, anybody, any creature on this earth need to love the Lord God, the creator of everything, with their heart. Why? Because we need to love God with our emotion. Love God with affection. That level is in the heart. And with all thy soul, that means with our conscience. And with all thy mind, that's with your brain. That is with your thinking. So there is no such thing as blind faith. We believe based on evidence. The evidence of the creation. We don't put our mind on a shelf to believe. We believe because that's the right thing to do. Verse 38, this is the first and great commandment. And the second, Jesus says, is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. How profound. You love yourself. If you are not sick, you will not hurt yourself. That's the same love you need to have for your brothers, for your sisters. And the Samaritan gave us a great lesson, even for the strangers, even for those who might hate us, who might despise us. Jesus wants us to love them. Jesus says in verse 40 of chapter 22 of Matthew, on those two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You got these two? You got it all. The great commandment, you see, teaches us to love God and to love our neighbors. If we love God, we will obey him. We will strive to see the whole world, that the whole world come to believe, that they repent of their sins. Yes, people want to be social. People want to heal. People want to do this and that. Jesus fed people. Jesus healed people. But Jesus also taught people. Because like the Samaritan woman learned, she had to go back to the well every day to get water. And Jesus told her, hey, that water you drink, you will thirst again. But I have water that I can give you, and you will thirst no more. Jesus can forgive us. We need to tell the world that Jesus can, and Jesus is the solution to the problem called sin. Some people think they can solve the problem of humanity. Jesus says, you will always have the poor with you. But you can give them a ticket to heaven when you invite them to know Jesus as their Savior. You see, our love will be characterized by our third C, which is the great compassion. In Mark chapter 6, verse 34, Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And what did he do? He didn't tell them jokes to make them laugh. He didn't give them what they would need every day, come back. But he taught them. He gave them something that will satisfy their inner being. He gave them something that would make them children of God. They were children of Abraham, but they needed salvation. The salvation that God promised. So those people that Jesus had pity on, they were leaderless. They were needy. The high priest was there. The Sanhedrin was there. But they did not lead. They did not care. Jesus, with compassion, cared for them. See what happened when one who was born blind received his sight at the hand of Jesus. The leader of the people, instead of rejoicing with them, they complained that Sabbath was being broken. Listen to what they say in John chapter 9, verse 16. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man, Jesus, is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath. We find that also, that they didn't care. Jesus, the compassionate Messiah, cares for us. Let's look at the heart of God and see the compassion also in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. Isaiah 40, verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Can you see the compassion? Can you feel the compassion that Isaiah prophesied about the Messiah? That's the God we serve, a God of compassion. Jonah in chapter 4, verse 9 through 11. Jonah, after he went away and God had to bring him back, he was mad because the preaching he did brought the Ninevite to their knees, the king to the lowest individual, repented, and God spared them. And the prophet Jonah is mad. In verse 9, God says, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? There was a tree that God made grow to give him some shadow. And the tree died, and he was mad even more. And he said, Jonah, I do well to be angry, even unto death. He wants to die because God is a compassionate God. He doesn't understand. Verse 10, then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And thou should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand. Nineveh was a great city. They had science. They had technology. But they were dumb. That's what happened to people who do not know God. That's how they are. Today, we run into people with PhDs. We run into people who know a lot about the world, but they are dead in their sins. And God called them people who do not know their right hand and their left hand. Until people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus, they are worthless. They cannot help themselves. Our compassionate God taught Jonah a lesson. He is teaching us the same lesson tonight, that we need to show compassion and tell the world their low estate. Luke 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save those that were lost. Our compassion, my friends, our compassion, my brothers and sisters, should drive us to go, preach, teach, witness, and plant new churches. Amen? We need to do that. There is no other way. Romans 10, 13, listen to the Apostle Paul saying, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. We all have a role in missions, all of us. Some will go, some will send. Neither is possible without the other. So, in conclusion, I will submit to you, like this person said, you may not be able to go to the mission field on your feet, but you sure can go on your knees. You can pray for mission. So remember, every believer can pour himself or herself into serving his or her God by practicing the three great C's of the Christian life: the Great Commission, the Great Commandments, and the Great Compassion. May God bless you.